beloved, in Jesus' name, amen. The psalmist says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. There is no better place to be on a Sunday morning than to be in church. Amen. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad to see you here today. Amen. And at this time, I think we are all aware of the celebrations that are taking place worldwide. A lot of people are preparing for this coming Friday. Others call it Easter. Others call it Good Friday. Others call it festive season. Whatever terminology they use, others call it Passover. Amen.
Amen.
But the question is for you, what are you going to be celebrating? Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, I remember when we grew up, where I grew up, you would know that either Christmas is coming or Good Friday is coming by the way that people will prepare even their houses, their homes and all that. But at the same time, there were people who maybe never drank before and they say, this is the time to drink. So it's like people have got a lot of perspectives about what this time means. Amen. I will start taking it from the angle of how the Jews and the Israelites took it so that we can learn from there and see how we as Christians should take this time. Can we start at the book of Exodus chapter 23, verse 14 to 17 in the Good News Translation? So the Jews have a celebration every year, being reminded or celebrating their deliverance from bondage in Egypt. And I believe that as Christians, we also were bound. You know that, isn't it? We were once in bondage, but now we are free. Can you tell your neighbor, I was once in bondage, but now I'm free. So it means if the Jews are able to celebrate their deliverance from Egypt, how much more my deliverance from the slavery of sin? And by the way, I was not only delivered from the slavery of sin, I'm also delivered from the power of the enemy. The devil cannot do with me whatever he likes. Amen. Before I knew the Lord, he could do whatever he wants anytime. That's why some of you would say, no, you know, I may just move here and I got knocked off by the car and I die. That's how you get killed by the devil, if you are always ready to be killed. Amen. So, but when you know that you are delivered and the Lord has set you free from the power of the enemy, and now you are in the kingdom of God, you've got reasons to celebrate. Exodus 23, 14 to 17, Good News Translation says, celebrate three festivals a year to honor me. This was said to the Israelites. In the month of Abib, the month in which you left Egypt, celebrate the festival of unleavened bread in the way that I commanded you. So they were supposed to celebrate a festival called the festival of unleavened bread. In other words, bread without yeast. So they were supposed to celebrate that festival. Do not eat any bread made with yeast during the 7 days of this festival. And he says, never come to worship me without bringing an offering. So it seems like when you were supposed to go to worship, you also must remember you've got to bring an offering. That's what the Lord was saying to them. He says, celebrate the harvest festival when you begin to harvest your crops. Celebrate the festival of shelters in the autumn, when you gather the fruit from your vineyard and orchards. Every year at these three festivals, all your men must come to worship me, the Lord your God. So I want you to start thinking about it this way. I'm not sure if they still do this always, but they've got festivals to celebrate, and it's being reminded of something that took place in their lives. And if you go with me to the book of Exodus chapter 12, I'll just show you what happened. So when God was going to deliver the Israelites from Egypt, He had to use his power to deliver them because Pharaoh would not let them go. Amen. Pharaoh would not let them go. And you know all the plagues that took place. And the last plague was the death of the firstborns. So there was an angel called the angel of death, the destroyer, who would go and destroy and kill all the firstborn of the Egyptians. But then the Israelites were supposed to be safe, even if they were in the same vicinity. Do you know that when the destroyer, when the angel of death destroys people, he doesn't have to destroy you too? You've got a covenant with God. Amen. You can't just be destroyed with the Egyptians. Tell your neighbor, I can't just be destroyed with the Egyptians. Look at it this way. So let's look at it. Exodus 12, 13. I'm showing you how the Israelites, people of God, people who had a covenant with God, were spared when the angel of death was destroying people. Which means if they could be spared because of the blood of animals, how much more do you think I should be spared because of the blood of Jesus? Amen.
Amen.
Can we all say, I'm safe under the blood of Jesus?
I'm safe under the blood of Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, it should make common sense. If the blood of animals could be put through the lintels and that, and then the destroyer could not destroy them, I'm covered by better blood.
Amen.
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 So it says, Exodus 12, 13, NIV, the blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. And we link it with 21 to 23, the same NIV, Exodus 12. Then Moses summoned all the elders of Israel and said to them, go at once and select the animals for your family and slaughter the Passover lamb. So look at here. The Israelites were going to slaughter an animal, a lamb. But look at what the blood of the lamb, animal lamb, could do. And think about what the blood of the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundations of the earth should be able to do.
Amen.
So if they could have confidence in the blood of animals, I've got more confidence in the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Today we're talking about the blood of Jesus. He says, take a bunch of hyssop, dip it into the blood basin, and put some of the blood on the top and on both sides of the door frame. None of you shall go out of the door of your house until morning. So when I look at this one, so they were supposed to take the blood, apply it on the lintels and on the doorposts. Okay? And it says, when you have applied the blood, don't get out from under the blood. I'm gonna stay right under the blood. I'm gonna stay right under the blood. I'm gonna stay right under the blood. Where the devil can do me no harm.
Do you believe that?
Amen.
So even during this time, when there are so many accidents and people are killed on the road, I'm gonna stay right under the blood. I'm gonna stay right under the blood. I'm gonna stay right under the blood. Where the devil can do me no harm. If you want to shine a bit, you say, no harm. No harm, no harm. And you say that even when the devil is hearing you. Some of you say, Pastor, don't say it loud because the devil may be hearing you. No harm, no harm, no harm. Where the devil can do me no harm. I've got confidence in the blood.
Amen.
Amen. Look, verse 23. When the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians, he will see the blood on top of this and the size of the door frame, and he will pass over that doorway. Now, listen to this. And he will not permit the destroyer to enter your houses and strike you down. Tell your neighbor, he will not permit the destroyer to destroy you. If the blood of animals could make sure that those people who had covenant with God were protected, how much more the blood of Jesus? That's why today when we celebrate, we also partake of the Holy Communion as a way of saying we know what the blood of Jesus has done for us. So this blood protects us. And when I think about the protection of the Lord, I just feel safe. Did you know that protections of the world, they are limited? I'll give you several examples. Let's say somebody was protected with a gun. When an accident, let's say now the devil wants to kill that person through an accident. Does the gun shoot accidents and then stop the accidents from killing that person? Okay. There are those who are also afraid to be bewitched. They will use other things to protect them from that. But there are other things that those protections cannot help. But can I tell you one recipe? The blood of Jesus protects from any destruction of the enemy.
Amen.
Anything that the enemy wants to do against your life, you can be covered under the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Let me prove it to you through scriptures. Let's go to Psalms 91. Read verse 1 to 5 and then 7 to 11 in the Amplified Classic. I want you to listen to this and take it as the word of God. The problem with most of us is when the word is being preached, you are trying to think and justify why the enemy should keep on destroying you. Instead of you looking at how, is this what the Lord is saying about me? Has the Lord really provided this? Because he said this to those Israelites and they believed it. You know, they believed it. They went and slaughtered the animals and put that, and they were sure they were safe. And indeed, they were safe.
Amen.
And they had to stay in and not go out. So some of you, even if you are children of God, sometimes you get out from under the blood. You go to places where you go at your own risk, where you shouldn't be. So you need to stay right under the blood of Jesus. You need to still keep on walking in the ways of obedience to the Lord so that even when the enemy is hunting you, he cannot find you because you are dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. Psalms 91, 1 to 5 and then 7 to 11. He who dwells in the secret place. I like the secret place. You know when something is a secret place, it means it's hidden. There's this thing. They say, isn't that peaceful sleep thing that you spray for mosquitoes not to bite you? I know how that system works, but I think there's an advert that shows as if the mosquito doesn't see you. But you are there, but it can't see you. So even with the enemy, you are so visible, but he can't see you. He can't find you. Because you are dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. I also like the words that are chosen here. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. In other words, you cannot go above the Most High if you want to get me. Because he is the Most High. The problem with trusting in people, even those of you who still trust in Inyangas, even when you are in church, if your enemy has got a stronger Inyanga than yours, he will still get you.
Yeah.
So rather go to the Most High. The Most High is higher than the highest. There is nothing higher than the Most High.
Amen.
And that's where I dwell.
Amen.
He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. I will say of the Lord, okay, now, look at this. You usually hear me speaking and you think the pastor is proud. No, the pastor is confessing his faith because faith works by speaking it.
Amen.
So here he says, I will say of the Lord, not I will think or I will silently pray in my heart. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. Can we all say together? He is my refuge.
He is my refuge.
And my fortress.
And my fortress.
My God.
On Him
I lean and rely.
On Him I lean and rely.
And in Him I confidently trust. Yes, say it. The pastor will not always be confessing for you, even though I pray for you. But you need to also speak like the psalmist says, I will say of the Lord.
Amen.
He is my refuge. Even when you are feeling threatened and you're feeling ish, you need to say of the Lord, Lord, I thank you that you are my refuge.
Amen.
You are my defense.
Amen.
You are my protector.
Amen.
You are my fortress.
Amen.
Verse 3. For then He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. You see, there is a fowler who's putting snares. Who wants to trap you? But He delivers me from the snare of the fowler. It doesn't mean the fowler is not there. It's just that I'm inaccessible to the fowler. Then He will cover you with His pinions. And under His wings shall you trust and find refuge. I like this one. You remember the example I always give? Those of us who grew up in rural areas, this is a very good example. You know the example of chicks, hen with the little chicks? So where I grew up, so I don't know. I mean, it's instinct. The mother would, if the mother sees a shadow of a hawk or any of those predators, those animals, those bears that want to take the little ones, the mother would make a certain sound. And the little ones will say, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are safe. Do you think if the little chicks know that, why can't you also know better than the little chicks? The little chicks know if we are not under the wings of mommy, the enemy can kill us anytime. But if we are covered under the wings of mommy, whoever wants to get us must get mommy first.
Amen.
Amen. And it says for us, He covers us with His pinions and under His wings we find refuge. That's why we say the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run unto it and they are safe. Okay. Then it says, you shall not be afraid of the terror of the night, nor of the arrow, the evil plots and slanders of the wicked that flies by day. 7. 1,000 may fall at your side. And 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you.
Amen.
Believe it. Believe it that even if I'm hearing a lot of calamities and a lot of death, accidents, everything, I've got a covenant with God. Amen. 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 on the other side. But according to God's word, it should not come near me. Because I've got a covenant with Him. Amen? We mean so much to the Lord. We are an apple of His eye. We mean so much to the kingdom of heaven. He still wants to do a lot of things through us. So, I can't depart now. Amen? There's still so much to do. It's not that I'm not willing to enjoy eternity with the Lord. I mean, we'll spend eternity. So what's the rush? I mean, if we're going to spend eternity, you see, if they said, no, you're only going to spend, you see, with the Lord, you're going to spend 100 years. So the more years you spend here, you are eating on your years up there. Then it would have been different. But if I'm going to spend eternity with Him, what's the rush? Amen. And if I really say what's the rush, that's why the same Psalms, okay, I'll read verse 10, 11, And then refer to verse 14. I don't have it here with me. It says, there shall no evil befall you, nor any plague or calamity come near your tent. For he will give his angels a special charge over you to accompany and defend and preserve you in all your ways of obedience and service.
Amen.
Amen. You know the VIPs of this world, usually when they are going, you see a motorcade? That entourage that accompanies them. With blue lights and all that. So people of the world think about that. So how much more an ambassador of heaven? How much more should the ambassador be surrounded as he's moving? He says, I've given a special charge over the angels to take care of you. So that wherever you go, you can know that the angel of the Lord encamps around me. He protects me. And then verse 14 says, with long life, I will satisfy him. Those of you who are still thinking of short life, my Bible talks about long life. And you can't blame me for believing what God said. How many of you know that the pastor didn't write the Bible?
Amen.
He's just believing it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
So if we're telling you, and the good thing is that what is in your Bible, it's for you.
Yeah.
Does your Bible have Psalms 91:14?
Yes.
Is it 16? It's 16. Okay. The last one. So if it says, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. If it's in your Bible, it's talking about you. If it's in my Bible, it's talking about me.
Yes.
Amen. And you need to believe that, because as part of celebrating, when we are celebrating now, like we said, on Friday, we want to have a Good Friday service. So we're actually celebrating our victory today.
Amen.
So, beside the fact that the blood of Jesus cleanses me from sin and washes away my sin, the blood of Jesus also protects me. Amen? And Jesus, even during his time, he celebrated. The Jews used to celebrate. They used to call it Passover. I think they still call it Passover. So there is the feast called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It takes several days. But among those days, there was a day called the Day of Passover. So listen to this in Matthew chapter 26. Verse 17 to 19. And then I'll also do Luke 22, 13 to 20. Matthew 26, 17 to 19 in New King James Version reads, now on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. You know, this is the feast that we were told you must celebrate all the years. You remember? Where we read earlier. Now it says, now on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying to him, where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover? You know, so they will eat the Passover during the time of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So he says, where do you want us to go and prepare Passover for you? And he said, go into the city to a certain man and say to him, the teacher says, my time is at hand. I'll keep the Passover at your house with my disciples. So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. Now let's go to Luke 22, 13 to 20, NIV. So I'm picking it from when they had prepared the Passover, what then happened? Because you need to understand this so that even in our time, as we transition that to us, what does that mean? Luke 22, 13 to 20 NIV. They left and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat of it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. I want you to look at this. So he says, this Passover, the way we celebrate it, the way we eat it, it's a sign for something that should be fulfilled.
Yeah.
Are you getting that?
Yeah.
He says, I will not eat this Passover. I'm eating with you now, but because I so much desire to eat it before I go to suffer. But the next time you eat it, it would have been fulfilled in the kingdom of God. So what was the fulfillment? The Passover himself, Jesus, the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundations of the earth, had to be crucified in fulfilling this. So he says, I will not eat of it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink of it again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. I want you to look at something very surprising here. Was Jesus already sacrificed by this time? But you look at how he's speaking. He says, when I'm giving you this bread, this is my body. When I'm giving you this fruit of the vine, this is my blood. You see the fulfillment? Yes. So let's go to it and fulfill it in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 7 to 8, Good News Translation. I want you to understand that so that when we transition from what the Israelites used to do and what the Jews still even continue to do as they celebrate Passover, you need to have more reasons to celebrate. Don't just look at this time as one of those festivities or it's the time to get a new clothes. It's good. There's nothing wrong with getting new clothes. But what about celebrating? Celebrating your deliverance from sin. Celebrating your deliverance from the hands of the enemy. Celebrating your divine health. 1 Corinthians 5, 7 and 8, Good News. It says, you must remove the old yeast of sin so that you will be entirely pure. Then you will be like a new batch of dough without any yeast. You remember unleavened bread? As indeed I know you actually are. For our Passover festival is ready. So can you say to the neighbor, our Passover festival is ready. We are going to celebrate. Why is it ready? He says, our Passover festival is ready. Now that Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Amen?
Amen.
What makes the Passover festival ready? Now that Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. So Jesus is the fulfillment of that Passover. Verse 8. Let us celebrate our Passover, then not with bread having all yeast or sin and wickedness, but with bread that has no yeast, the bread of purity and truth. Now, he's talking about his death. You know that the animals, those animals that were killed, and they would make the lintels, the blood on the lintels and all that. It was the blood of animals, but they had, that blood had power. It could do certain things. That blood could cover sins. It used to be called atonement. But that blood could also protect them. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you and I will not allow the destroyer to destroy you. So now, how much more do you think the blood of Jesus should do for us? So let's go to Hebrews 10. So now you will see the explanation of what I was sharing with you. So that we link what happened in the Old Testament with the blood of those animals and how the blood of animals could cover sins, but the blood of Jesus washes away sins. How many of you know that if something is covered, it can be uncovered? What about if something is washed? Can it be unwashed? Remember one time, this illustration, I never forget it. You're going to Hebrews 10, 16 to 22. So I don't forget this illustration. We had, it was like, usually when we partake of Holy Communion, we like white things. So even the preparations here, everything was white. And then somehow somebody spilled the juice, the red juice, on that white lappy, and it had a stain. You could see that. And they went and washed that white cloth. The next time when they brought the cloth, I couldn't trace the stain. Now, if look at that washing, imagine your sins are washed like that. You did something, and then the enemy knows you owe him one. Huh? And he's very sure of the stain. Now you go, and you go before the Lord, and the Lord Jesus washes away your sin. And the stain goes. And the enemy still thinks, I know he's got a stain. I will still accuse him before the Father. Now, you're going there with confidence before God, and the enemy is accusing you. He says, I know she did this. I know, I'm sure, I'm convinced. And the Lord says, okay, let's go and look. Like I was looking at that white cloth. What do you mean? No, I know he did it. I know he did it. But where is it? Okay. That's what happens with the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
It's washed away. Amen. It cannot be traced. It is you yourself who is not forgiving yourself. But according to the Lord, your sin is washed away. Not to be remembered. That's why the Lord says, their sins and their lawless deeds, I will remember no more.
Amen.
So, it's summarized here in Hebrews 10, 16 to 22, Amplified Classic. This is the agreement, testament or covenant. I told you about the covenant that we have with God. So, the confidence that I have, the boldness that I have, is because I've got a covenant with God. He says, this is the covenant that I will set up and conclude with them after this day, says the Lord. I will imprint my laws upon their hearts, and I will inscribe them on their minds and on their innermost thoughts and understanding. He then goes on to say, and their sins and their law breaking. What is he going to do with their sins and their law breaking? I will remember no more. So if you're still remembering it, the Lord doesn't remember it. Because it's washed away. So he says, their sins and their law breaking, I will remember no more. Because the blood of Jesus has done the work. Now, where there is absolute remission, that word remission, in brackets at least they put their forgiveness, cancellation of the penalty, is the word in Greek that means to wash away, to cleanse completely, to wash away. So that's remission. There is forgiveness of these sins and law breaking. There is no longer any offering made to atone for sin. So here, the author of Hebrews is using two words. There's the word remission and there's the word atonement. Okay? These two words both indicate what the blood could do. The blood of animals could atone, could cover for sin. That's why every year the high priest had to go again and again and again, because the sins were just covered. But the blood of Jesus does not cover sin. It washes away sins. That there is no longer trace. Okay, the problem with covering is this. Do you know that if, especially those of you who live double standards, double lives, and you've got people that have got deals with you. Hey, don't say this thing. You cover it. How many of you know that it's got a tendency to come out? Either that person will keep on extorting some money from you and saying, no, if you don't give me this or if you don't do this, I'm going to uncover. Now you know, because it's just covered, it cannot go. It's just hidden. But when something is washed away, your accuser has got no grounds. It's washed. It's like the docket has been, so somebody has taken away all the evidence. So the enemy comes thinking he's got a strong case against you, and you find that there is no evidence. Amen. That's what the blood of Jesus does. But if you go for covering, like what they used to do here, atonement. When we do this, so you are always holding your heart just in case. So you even don't have confidence. Because when you're talking, you don't want to step on the toes of those who have won against you. Just in case they go and spill the beans. You know, that's usually what happens when people have got dealings with people. Yeah. There are people you are afraid of, not because of anything, but because they know your secrets. They know your secret, and you always want to treat them well. You don't want to offend them, just in case they get angry and spill the beans. Have you heard the term, I'll spill the beans? Because those beans were hidden. They were not remitted. It's atonement. So imagine if we were to work with God like that. I don't like the Old Testament part. I want this new part, the remission part. Because the atonement part is that when I'm so happy and celebrating and thanking God and all that, and the devil keeps on saying, you remember that thing? You remember that thing? And I know it's just covered. Then I will always be holding my heart. But if it's washed away, I've got boldness and confidence as if it never happened. That's where you get the word justified. When you read your Bible and it says we have been justified. Justified is just as if you have never sinned. Yeah. So the judge says you are not guilty. Do you know that it doesn't matter public opinion? If the judge says you are not guilty, you are a free man.
Amen.
Amen? That's what the blood of Jesus does. And people will be saying, no, we know she did this in 1982. We've got all the things. The judge says, I don't have evidence. The case is thrown out of court. And in this one, I like it because the one who is the judge is my father. That's an advantage that we have. Amen? So let's look at it. Verse 19. Therefore, brethren, since we have full freedom and confidence to enter into the Holy of Holies. So when Jesus died, the curtain that was in the holy place was torn into two to open, to say from the holy place you can now go to the Holy of Holies. So it says, we now have confidence to enter into the Holy of Holies by the power and virtue in the blood of Jesus. This is the blood that we're talking about. By this fresh and new and a living way, he initiated and dedicated and opened for us through the separating curtain. You know that curtain? That through his flesh. 21. And since we have such a great and wonderful and noble priest over the house of God. Verse 22. Let us all come forward and draw near with true, honest, and sincere hearts in unqualified assurance and absolute conviction engendered by faith. Having our hearts sprinkled and purified from a guilt conscience. Did you see that? Our hearts have been sprinkled and cleaned from a guilt conscience. This is the thing. If you know, I mean, when you've sinned or when you've done something, even when other people are not remembering it, you still think they remember it. Hey, I think the pastor is still think about that thing, man. I don't even want to meet him. And I've forgotten long ago. I'm like, God, your lawless deeds I remember no more. But with you is still there. Even when you want to approach God, the enemy brings that guilt conscience. You know that the devil is funny. He makes you sin, and when you have sinned, now he wants to use that against you. Now when you go to pray, he says, you can't tell me anything. You're not like other Christians. You play double standards. But he's the one who made you play double standards. So don't allow him next time to make you play double standards. Because he will use that same thing to condemn you with it. Amen. But then the blood of Jesus cleanses me. And it also takes away not only sin, but also the guilt. You know why the guilt? Because even if you know you've been forgiven, sometimes the guilt remains. And you say, I just feel guilty. And the enemy uses that to condemn you. And you find that your confidence is destroyed. And you're never able to stand up because of that guilt. You know that sometimes people even commit suicide. You find somebody has done something horrible. And then they are not committing suicide because of what they have done. They are committing suicide because of the guilt. They can't face the public. Okay? So it's got nothing to do with that, what they've done, but it's the consequence of what they've done. Now, I like the blood of Jesus. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. Look at this blood. That's why we're going to celebrate today. We're going to partake of the Holy Communion and enjoy this power in the blood. 1 John 1, 7, Amplified Classic. And if we really are living and walking in the light, as he himself is in the light, you see, this is the thing. Don't get out of from under the blood until morning. So we have to walk in the light. 1 John 1, 7, Amplified Classic. It says, but if we really are living and walking in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have to be walking in the light. Man's fellowship, my brother, let's walk. Walk in the light. Walk in the light. Walk in the light of God. So I know I'm redeemed. I know I'm saved. I know I'm a child of God. But I've got to walk in the light. Amen. I should walk in a way that even when the world looks at me, they should have nothing that they can use to accuse me of sin of. You remember Daniel? Daniel, there was a time when, because God was keeping on promoting him and he had the spirit of excellence. So at his work, they were jealousing him because the king was keeping on promoting him. And he even became the prime minister of the place where he was. And then they said, the Bible said, they wanted to find something that they will use against the life of Daniel. But they could not find it. Until they said, we will not find anything wrong in the way of wrong living in the life of Daniel unless we find something that relates to his faith in God. That's when they made the trap of saying nobody should pray. Because they know for that one will catch him. He will definitely pray. He will offend when it comes to praying. Okay? So be like that. Be a person of integrity. That even if people are now starting to plot against you because of what they see the Lord doing in your life, let them find nothing. They should rather use your faith in the Lord as something to say, no, you know what they trapped. They said, we should not allow anybody to pray. King, sign into petition the law of the Medes and the Persians that anybody who prays to the Lord for the next 7 days without getting a permission from the king should be thrown into the lion's den. That's where the story of the lion's den came about. Because they could not find something in his way of life that was wrong. Now, 1 John 1, 7, Amplified Classic. It says, but if we really are living and walking in the light as he himself is in the light, we have true unbroken fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, you see what the blood does? Cleanses, in brackets they say, removes. I like that. Tell your neighbor, I like that. Because the blood of animals could cover, but the blood of animals could never remove, could never cleanse. That's why those people always had a guilt conscience. Now, if the blood of Jesus cleanses us, what does it cleanse us from? All sin and guilt. Keep us cleansed from sin in all forms and manifestation. So the blood of Jesus cleanses me from all sin. So when we are going to celebrate partaking of the Holy Communion, we are celebrating our deliverance from the life of sin, from slavery. We are children of God now. But we're celebrating also that our sins are forgiven and the guilt has been taken away. We are also celebrating that we are protected and covered and preserved so that then we can say, I'm going to stay right under the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus covers me. The blood of Jesus cleanses me. So do you see now the reasons to celebrate the blood? We're going to partake of the Holy Communion. We may get ready with your people. You're coming to help us. So we are going to celebrate the victory that we have in the blood. Next time you sing that song, Oh, the blood of Jesus. Then you think about all that the blood has done for you. And you start thinking, I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus. Now, you are really thankful for the blood. So for me, you know why I've got all the reasons to celebrate? The confidence that you see me having, where I would know, if I'm going to Limpopo, I'm going to Limpopo and I'm coming back. I don't go to Limpopo and you hear the pastor is gone to heaven. No, that's not allowed. In our kingdom, when it's time to go, you do like Paul. When it's time to go in our kingdom, you do like Paul. You say, the time of my departure is at hand. And that's 2 Timothy 4:7. I have run the race. I have kept the faith. I have completed the course. And he says, now I'm ready to be offered. And if you compare the Paul who said that and you compare him with what he said in Philippians chapter 1 from verse 22. In Philippians, he was not ready yet. He says, I'm torn between the two. I don't know whether to go and be with the Lord, which is far much better. But I know you also need me. There's still work to do. And he says, I'm choosing to stay. I like that kind of life. And that's how we should live if we know our covenant with the Lord. You need to say it for yourself. Because instead of saying that, you keep on saying, oh, you never know. You know, the roads are very busy this time. Which scripture is that now? You're telling us newspaper, you're reading a lot of newspaper and watching a lot of news, and you don't know scriptures. Tell us something that the Lord has said. Amen? Those things are there, but what does the Lord say? May the Lord have a final word in my life. May the Lord have a final word in your life.
Amen.
Amen. So we're going to partake of the Holy Communion. All of you who know you have got a covenant with God, you are children of God, you can partake. Because this is celebrating your covenant with God. Okay? So when we partake of the bread that represents the body of Jesus, that was wounded for our transgressions, that was bruised for us. With his stripes we were healed. So may you be healed. May you receive your healing as you partake of this bread. Because this is part of the covenant. Amen. So 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 to 26, NIV. For I received from the Lord what also I passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So I'm going to sanctify this bread that represents the body of Jesus that was wounded, that was bruised for us. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I hold this bread in my hand. And I sanctify it to represent the body of Jesus that was bruised for us, that was wounded for us. That indeed, even as we partake of this bread, we remember our union with one another, for we are one body in Christ. We also remember that indeed with the stripes of Jesus we were healed. I declare divine health, and I say, as we partake of this bread, we receive the fulfillment of our healing. In Jesus' name, Father, we thank you. Amen.
Amen.
So worship team, oh, the blood. Now, do you know what you're going to celebrate when you partake of the Holy Communion? Do you understand now? Do you have confidence? You won't be keeping on speaking what the world is speaking. You will speak what God has said. Because God does not fulfill what the world is saying. He fulfills what his word has said. He says, I'm watching over my word to fulfill it. So it doesn't matter the opinions of people. It doesn't matter people's experiences. God is bound by his word. Amen. So let's go. Thank you. In the same manner, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I sanctify this fruit of the vine to represent the blood of Jesus that was shed for us. The blood of Jesus that has cleansed us from all unrighteousness. The blood of Jesus that keeps on protecting us and preserving us, that we can have confidence in this world that we are covered under the blood of Jesus. The enemy cannot touch us. In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you. We celebrate our deliverance and our safety in you. Our deliverance from bondage. That mighty Father, we are free. For indeed, if the Son sets us free, we are free indeed. And we will walk in the fullness of our freedom. In Jesus' name, amen.